Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is July the 5th. I almost said the 4th. That was yesterday. July the 5th.
Yes. Here we are. It is.
Yeah.
July 5th.
Yep. We survived fireworks and whatever else happened.
It was subdued last night in my neighborhood.
Man.
I think the fireworks were done by 10 o'clock.
Well, Scott, that was not the case in my world. I think there was fireworks all through the night.
Okay.
So that's good. Yeah.
Well, I hope you got a little sleep.
I did. Well, we are back here talking about John chapter 13.
Yes.
And I think it was the, if I remember right, the standing and reading for God's word. This may have been the shortest that I've had at Grace.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't remember you doing two verses, maybe once or twice. I don't know. But we only read two verses.
Yeah.
So.
That was because we read those two verses with last week's sermon too, but I wanted to come back. I explained that in the sermon.
People
can go listen to that. But yeah, I wanted to come back and pick up those last two verses from the previous sermon because I just felt like there was so much more that I wanted to say, so much more that we could see in Jesus' coming. So what was it? All right, it was John 13.
Yes.
It was verse 31 and 32. And again, just to orient people real quickly, if you didn't hear it, go listen to it, but real quick. So it's the final night, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and then he had that exchange with the morsel of bread dipped and given it to Judas and predicting the betrayal, and then Judas leaves, goes out into the night, out into the darkness, and right after it says, John writes, and he says, Judas left, and it was night. Mm-hmm. We said it was dark spiritually.
Yeah.
Right after that, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him, the Son of Man. So I wanted to spend more time on how this now moment, which we understand clearly to be the moment of the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, how that brings glory to God.
Yep.
So I just felt like there was so much more to see and to say from that text.
Yeah.
And so I did. And the point was that our points were that God is glorified at the cross of Christ because there his attributes are shown.
Mm-hmm.
And those attributes play out in actions to save us.
Yep.
And the attributes of, and I kind of put them in categories, but like God's holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then second, God's righteousness, justice, and wrath. And then God's love, mercy, and grace. And then God's power to save. All that is revealed from the cross. We see a holy God because sin must be dealt with. We see a righteous God dealing with sin. We see a merciful God dealing with our sin in his own Son or in himself, God the Son. And the power of God to overcome sin and death and Satan.
Yeah.
So all that, when you look at the cross, there's the man on the cross. Right. That's what you see.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, and we talked about this earlier, but we had an adult study right before this talking about why theology is important for us as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how many things just overlapped. I mean, you referenced Isaiah chapter 6. We were talking about Isaiah 6 as well in that study. And just, again, I thought it was extremely helpful because I think it was very applicable to our lives, but it was in a lot of ways a theology lesson of the cross that you gave on Sunday. So I would encourage people to go listen to it. It was a great foundational, I feel like, message for people, even if they're not Christians, to understand what does the church believe about the cross.
Yeah.
Here it is. But here's the question that I want to ask is, why is that so, the message that you preached on Sunday about the cross of Christ and about the glory of God in the cross, why is that so important for us as we try to live faithfully as Christians in the world? Why is that so important?
Okay. Can I change the question just a bit?
Sure.
Why is it important for the church to be the church in the world?
Right, totally.
Then we can say,
yes,
for Christians to live individually in the world.
Right.
So the church to be the church in the world, why is that important? And I think And I'm trying to communicate a lot that the number one reason is because the church in the world is supposed to live the Christian faith and bring the Christian faith to bear in the world. And the Christian faith is about the cross of Christ.
Right.
So
you're saying our very definition
is
the cross. You lose the cross, you've lost that we're no longer Christian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what I think happens sometimes and what can happen is that churches can start to think that their job in the world is to do something that a lot of other people in the world can do.
Right.
But they can do it under a different name, under a different brand. Mm-hmm. And so all the church ends up being then is a group of people doing the same thing that everybody else is trying to do, but with their own brand.
Right.
And some of those things are important.
Right.
So please don't hear that.
Yeah, like good deeds and helping those in need in the community or whatever it could be.
Exactly.
All important.
Yeah, all of that is important. But the bottom line is there are numerous groups in a particular city or community that want to do good.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, we do too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's great. But does that mean we're just doing it under a different brand, you know, under the label of Christian and Christianity? Whereas any other religious group or any other civic-minded group could do the exact same thing that we do, just under a different heading, a different brand. If that's the case, then are we really carrying out a unique Christian mission?
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that only the church has the message of the cross. Mm-hmm. If the church doesn't communicate and preach and live and show the power of the cross of Jesus Christ in our preaching and in our living, nobody else will.
Right.
There's no other group, religious, civic, political, nobody is going to carry forth the word of the cross.
Right.
That means that the word of the cross will only be carried forth by the church.
Right.
And so hearing Jesus say that the very glory of God is in his cross and resurrection, and as we said Sunday, the cross is kind of like the center point of all of the saving activity of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the church has that message, and we're to carry that message forward. And if we don't, it won't get carried forward because we're the only ones who have it.
Yeah.
And Jesus has said that. And so that's why it's important for us as the church to get the doctrine of the cross. Mm-hmm. It may come across as foolishness. It will come across. It does come across as foolishness, but it's the very wisdom and power of God for those who are being saved.
Good. So what I'm hearing you say as the church, why it's important, because it defines us as the church, as a Christian church who holds to the cross. But I'm also hearing you say, it doesn't mean that we don't do some of the good things that we're called to do, but what's unique about a church is that we carry the message of the cross.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we need to understand the cross ourselves.
Right.
So now maybe I can go over into the personal side.
Right, yeah.
My goodness, if we don't understand the nature of the cross, we have no assurance of salvation.
Yeah.
We have no assurance that heaven is our home, that our sins are forgiven, that we're reconciled to God. None whatsoever. Mm-hmm. If we have a true understanding of the cross, we of all people live freely, we live graciously, we live under grace, we live with a cleansed conscience, we live energetically for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. We live with the phrase Abba Father coming from our hearts through our lips because we know we've been reconciled to God through the death of Jesus.
Yeah.
So everything, it's the gospel message that transforms the human heart, that changes the way we understand ourselves and God and our relationship to God. We're saved by it.
Yeah.
But also, so we had to understand it for our own soul's sake, but also to understand the cross of Christ gives us a real vision and understanding of the nature of reality. Mm. Like, what is real? in this world.
Yeah.
And what we know to be real is that God is holy. This is what we said Sunday. God is holy. Sin is against a holy God. Sin is deserving of the wrath of God, and sinners are under the wrath of God. God is righteous and pours that wrath out on his Son. This is reality.
Right.
I mean, there's a real problem. It's called sin and separation from God and rebellion against God. That's a real problem. It's the real problem.
Right.
And God is holy, and he's going to, and righteous, and he's going to deal with that sin. And God is merciful and gracious and compassionate. In love, he sent his Son. This is reality.
Yeah.
You know, love does triumph over evil, but it's the love of God in Christ. It's not a generic, you know, love. It's a, like a human understanding of just being nice. It's the specific love of God in atoning for our sins. God is loving and gracious and kind. This is reality.
Right.
And through faith in him, human beings are reconciled to God.
Right.
And belong to a church. And therein lies our reconciliation to one another. You know, we are part of the family of God, representing the coming kingdom of Christ, calling people into it by faith.
Right.
And the reality of God's power. You know, sin really has been paid for. Death really will be defeated.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. We will be raised. Christ will return. Newness is to come. Christ will make all things new. That is reality.
Right.
So all the narratives, you know, and storylines, we're not trying to say we're better than you. We figured out something. We're saying, no, this is God's narrative, God's story.
Right.
And the cross shows it. We talked about that on Sunday too.
Yeah.
And it just helps Christians live in the realities, with a sense of reality, what really is.
Yeah.
Now that shapes how we live in terms of approaching God and what priority we place on the gospel. It shapes how we interact with people. We know what the true problem is with people. We know that the true problem is sin against God and separation and brokenness we know how to bring the solution of Christ. Say solution, you know what I mean by that. Yep. We know how to bring the gospel, the message of Christ.
Yep.
It's a reality.
Yeah, so good. So I'm hearing you say as an individual, it helps us encourage our own souls. If we have a firm grasp on the message of the cross and why it's important, it helps us encourage our own souls, and then it helps us to interpret reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like, Scott, too, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like this potential for a domino effect to occur. Like if you don't get the message of the cross as the church correct, and you're not really holding that up as your main agenda, then all of a sudden something else gets declared. And then is there really encouragement for your soul as an individual?
Yeah.
Is there really a way to interpret reality? And then all of a sudden the message and the mission has completely changed.
Yep.
It's just a domino effect that occurs.
Man, you've just nailed it. Yeah. You should have preached that on Sunday. You should have gotten up there and said, let me add to this, Scott.
No,
you are absolutely right. And that's, and believe it or not, Justin, I believe that's what has happened. I believe in many segments of, quote, the church, the Big C church, in many segments, it's been lost.
Yeah.
The cross has been lost. And therefore, the people's real assurance before God has been lost. And therefore, people's representation of the Christian faith in the world has been lost. The real one. It's been lost. Totally.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want us to do that.
Yeah.
You know, if we have a brand of Christianity, if we have a message as a church, if we have an agenda for the church, if we have a personal, principle that we're living by that is void of the cross of Christ, then we're not Christians.
Right. Yep.
We're not.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul said it.
Yeah.
And, so that's it.
The cross. It's vital.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's central to who we are.
Yeah.
For the last few minutes, real quick, I didn't plan this at the beginning, but real quick, tomorrow we are having Wednesdays together in July.
Yeah.
So every Wednesday we're going to meet together as a church. Just give us a brief just a little bit of explanation. Again, people probably have heard it, but just what that is, what's going to be happening, what time and all that.
Well, what it is an opportunity in July. We do this every summer here at Grace. We have some opportunity in June, July to come together and do something that's a little different for our church. It could be a book study. It could be a topical study. This year, it's really more of a conversation.
Yeah,
because the what we're trying to accomplish is we have a lot of new people at Grace, and we find ourselves, you know, here we are July of 2022, and the world has changed and churches change, and we're coming out of COVID, and we have new people coming to Grace, and so we're in a new building, and so a lot of newness, and so we're saying, okay, let's come together and say, how do we, those of us that have been around Grace a long time, and those who are new to Grace, how do we come together? How do we get to know each other? How do we share our history, have a shared history? I don't mean just mean the events that we've been through, but I mean, what are the themes that play out throughout our history? How do we, that helps us understand ourselves as a congregation. How do we share a culture, with a church culture, I mean by that, a gospel, Christ cross culture. And then how do we think about the future?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of a combination of touching on some of those things to get people all thinking together, but also then relationally. So we're going to have half the time will be spent in me talking and then having Q&A, so a conversation. The other half of the time will be spent just having dessert and drinks out in the gathering hall and have people one-on-one getting to know new people.
Good. Good.
So it's, I don't know how to describe it. We're calling it Wednesdays Together. I don't know. That's kind of a generic name, but the point is getting people together at this summertime season of Grace Community Church.
Good. So it sounds like, again, this is for people that are brand new at Grace.
Yes.
People have been here for 3 years, 5 years, 20 years. This is for everyone to come together.
Everybody.
Kind of almost to remind ourselves, you know, what our purpose is.
Yeah.
And how we're shaping, how we're shaped and how we move forward together and just do this together.
Yes. It's an opportunity with a new season and a lot of, like I said, a lot of newness at Grace. It's a great opportunity to think about being together.
Great. Well, look forward to that. I'll be tomorrow at 6:30.
6:30 tomorrow night, Wednesday night.
We'll be in the chapel.
We'll be in the chapel.
Yep. And then there's, if your kids are registered, they've got things for them. So
that's right. Kids are covered and we're good.
All right. We'll look forward to it.
Thanks.
Thanks.